Srila Jiva Goswami remarks in this connection that every child, if given an impression of the Lord from his very childhood, certainly becomes a great devotee of the Lord, like Maharaj Parikshit. One may not be as fortunate as Maharaj Parikshit to have the opportunity to see the Lord in the womb of his mother, but even if he is not so fortunate, he can be made so if the parents of the child desire him to be so. There is a practical example in my personal life in this connection. My father was a pure devotee of the Lord. And when I was only 4 or 5 years old, my father gave me a couple of forms of Radha and Krishna in a playful manner. I used to worship these deities along with my sister, and I used to imitate the performances of a neighbouring temple of Radha Govinda. By constantly visiting this neighbouring temple and copying the ceremonies in connection with my own deities of play, I developed a natural affinity for the Lord. My father used to observe all the ceremonies befitting my position. Later on, these activities were suspended due to my association in the schools and colleges, and I became completely out of practice. But in my youthful days, when I met my spiritual master, Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, again I revived my old habit, and the same faithful deities became my worshipful deities in proper regulation. This was followed up until I left the family connection, and I am pleased that my generous father gave the first impression, which was developed later into regular devotional service by His Divine Grace. Maharaj Prahlad also advised that such impressions of a godly relation must be impregnated from the very beginning of childhood. Otherwise one may miss the opportunity of the human form of life, which is very valuable, although it is temporary like others. So, this is an interesting context that Srila Prabhupada is speaking. If one read just this purport and was perhaps unaware of other statements about Srila Prabhupada, you would probably take it, just from this purport that, in effect, Srila Prabhupada became Krishna conscious for the sole reason that his father was a pure devotee, and that his father cultivated Krishna consciousness in him from childhood. And that, at some stages, when Prabhupada went to schools and colleges, that he became out of practice or not Krishna conscious or you could actually, but again, he became Krishna conscious when he met his spiritual master, and again it was revived. So, from a Srila Prabhupada is giving an example of his own life, how one can, even if one, if you look in someone's astrological chart and you see, oh, this person, their birth is maybe not so fortunate, and you can actually look in their chart, Prabhupada mentions that, and you can see the destination after death, that is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita as well. And you can look in someone's chart from birth, and you can say, oh yes, your child will go to hell, after leaving this world, or your child will go to heaven, your child will attain the right. You can look and see like that. Prabhupada is quoting Jiva Goswami that these things are there astrologically. But despite that, if one is actually given the opportunity to cultivate Krishna consciousness, then, the destination that may ordinarily have been there, or the unfortunate life that they may ordinarily have had, is no longer considered to be, applying. In a sense, Prabhupada is giving himself as an example that, his life was made fortunate by that principle that the parents cultivated Krishna consciousness, and in that way overrid any other influences. And in many other statements, if we actually look at many other statements that Srila Prabhupada made, we understand that he is a Nityasiddha, there was actually a Nityasiddha means, throughout the whole course of their lifetime, there was no time when they're not actually Krishna conscious. And here Prabhupada is describing how his spiritual master brought him to the platform of, following regulative bhakti yoga, which is practiced by beginning devotees before they come to advanced stages of spontaneous loving devotion. But of course, We know that Prabhupada is actually, you know, an eternal resident of the spiritual world, and he's a Brajavasi eternally. There's no question of him ever being a devotee on the platform of regular devotional service. See? So, but it's possible to draw the wrong conclusion from that purport. That's my point. You know, if a devotee is not properly aware, for instance, people who may be envious of Srila Prabhupada can actually draw from these purports that Prabhupada is stating himself that in effect he's a conditioned soul who became Krishna conscious, you know, through the cultivation of a pure devotee. You know, if one is envious of Prabhupada, one can actually draw that from that purport. You know, so this chapter itself is a very intriguing chapter for devotees. I always listen with interest and a little bit of amusement when devotees speak on this chapter, because I always find there's a lot of strange comments that are made, especially because this chapter deals with astrology. And I would say that of all the subjects that I come across in Krishna consciousness, the one that is most misinterpreted and the most foolish statements I hear is on astrology. But those comments are actually drawn from Srila Prabhupada's actual statements. In the same way, you know, people can draw. I was discussing with Bharadatri Radha yesterday, we were having a bit of a laugh, telling different stories about some of the foolish things that happen. One time, Prabhupada was on a morning walk. I think he might have been in Vrindavan, yeah. And some of his disciples, who, you know, were managing the temples in America, were saying that there's a bit of a problem in America, sort of Prabhupada, because the devotees in the temples won't eat grains anymore. Prabhupada said, why not? Prabhupada is saying that you said grains are for animals. So Prabhupada was a bit amused and he said, well, but I'm eating grains. As if they don't, they're not considering that, what does that make me? You know, it's like, you know, how foolish, you know, they're quoting. And then he was, you know, angry at this. Prabhupada said, you know, he didn't deny that he said it, but he was really concerned that it, you know, the Prabhupada said could be such a misrepresentation of what Prabhupada wanted in ISKCON, even to the point where they neglected, in essence, they were, you know, indicating that their spiritual master was like an animal. You know, because he was eating grains. You know, in other words, the devotees were in the mentality that if devotees were seen eating grains, they were on the animal platform. That actually happened. It's an event in this one. So Prabhupada was a bit amused, and of course, you know, just by a few statements like that, you know, but I'm eating grains. Prabhupada was able to reveal, you know, that this is very foolish. Now, a couple of months ago, and as Sue pointed out, that there was a quote, you know, they have the desk calendar in reception, I don't know if they still have that, and it has a little quote for the day. And she pointed out that there's a quote about astrology, and which, you know, devotees were, I noticed at that particular time, I heard a lot of strange comments about astrology in the temple. And I thought, you know, what is going on? And I realized there's this quote in reception and the calendar. And the quote was, I that Prabhupada says, so who goes to the astrologer? Only fools and rascals. No sane man goes. So, you know, this is, I was very surprised, you know. Actually, I thought, I'm thinking now that they should have also put that quote in the calendar that grains of big animals. That'd be a nice quote. Yeah, put that on the desk. Calendar, grains of animals. And see how much trouble we can stir up. But, you know, there's no real context. You know, it's a very, actually it's quite irresponsible who even did that. As well, we, you know, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Bhagavan and Bhakti Shastri, we try to, you know, the different skills, you know, we try to develop when we're teaching, you know, the scriptures. We're not just people who just remember them, but one of them is academic and moral integrity. It's not that you can just quote what's in there, but that when you quote it, you actually have some integrity in the way that you quote it, you know, that therefore you're quoting it responsibly. Anyone can quote anything, but academic moral integrity is something that can be lacking. So, you know, the story is this. This is the actual context. That Prabhupada is telling the story that for instance, you know, one season is followed by another. So Prabhupada is discussing when there's a natural sequence of events. Right, so summer always follows, you know, what is it, you know, what's the one before summer? You get autumn. Winter, spring, summer, autumn, and that. So they follow. There's a natural sequence. Now, if someone goes to an astrologer and says, you know, you please tell me, what is your astrological advice? What will follow spring? Astrologer looks for summer. You know, that's insane. That's ridiculous. But both the astrologer for actually taking the trouble and presenting themselves, that yes, I can tell you a future, that is ridiculous. That is completely outlandish. And for the person who even asked that question, both of them, you know, that's for fools and rascals, that sort of astrologer. That's what Prabhupada is actually criticizing. Not astrology. He's actually criticizing its misuse. So therefore he tells a story that, you know, there's a fool sitting on the branch of a tree and he's cutting off, because he's sitting on the wrong side of the branch and he's cutting off the branch. Someone, you know, walks past and says, you know, you keep cutting that, you're going to fall down. And then he's cutting, he falls down, he goes, oh, you know, you're a great astrologer. You know, you see the future. And if the astrologer thinks, yes, I'm a great astrologer, he's a fool. Because it's a natural sequence. And the person who takes him is they're both fools. That's what Prabhupada is criticizing. Therefore, you know, Prabhupada would say things like, you know, that astrology will not save at the time of death. This is a natural sequence that cannot be avoided. And there's no value in going to an astrologer to try and avoid it or anything, because, you know, it's a natural sequence, and you go to astrologer for that purpose to somehow avoid that, and, you know, then you're a fool, and the astrologer's a fool for thinking that you can. So this is what Srila Prabhupada is condemning. Generally, you know, I've gone through pretty much as many quotes as I can find on Srila Prabhupada, And what he says, and these are the things that Prabhupada condemns. He's not condemning astrology. These are the things that Prabhupada is condemning. It's misuse. We read actually in this very chapter, in verse 12, Srila Prabhupada said, it is, you know, a great science. Misuse of a great science does not make it useless. One time, Srila Prabhupada was talking to Sri Damodar Maharaj, you know, great scientist in our movement, passed away, of course. He once said to Prabhupada, they were on a morning walk, and he says, such and such is telling me about, astrology, and I told him I don't believe in astrology. Sri Damodar says to Prabhupada, I said, no, we believe in astrology. There's a natural sequence about it happening here. Because I'm an astrologer. But, So, Prabhupada said, no, we believe in astrology, but because it is a difficult science, people do not understand it properly. He said, in my practical life, I see, in my horoscope, Prabhupada's talking about his own horoscope, everything is written, what I'm doing, everything is written. Prabhupada said that, that they said that he would, cross the ocean, establish, 108 temples, so many things, and be a great exponent on, devotional service. At a certain age, he would cross the ocean at a certain age. He would depart this world at a certain age. Everything is written. Prabhupada said, we believe in astrology. And he gave his own chart as an example. Because, in this instance, it had not been misused. Nor was that astrology being practiced by a kami, in the sense that a person who has no concept of the transcendental nature of God or, the life of a transcendentalist. Srila Prabhupada was, these are some of the things that Srila Prabhupada, why he was so dismissive to some disciples, not all, on astrology. That a lot of people want to know the future. Now Prabhupada, for a devotee, he wanted them not to be concerned with their future, but just to be concerned with that whatever Krishna's arrangement, I will accept that. Sometimes devotees want to know their past. And Prabhupada again, don't waste time. Because, if you go to someone, other than, taking Srila Prabhupada's instructions, by seeing what's in your future, or seeing what's in your past, it may actually, divert you from understanding your current opportunity. This verse here, Prabhupada is explaining in verse 30 that it doesn't matter who you are, because Jiva Goswami is saying every child who has the opportunity to be properly trained in Krishna consciousness can actually become a great devotee like Parikshit Maharaj. Therefore, it doesn't matter what your past was. One shouldn't think, you know, let me look in my child, will my child become a great devotee? And if we see your child, you know, I can't see, no, he'll become a great businessman. And the parents think, oh, so let me train the child up to be a businessman because, you know, spirituality is not showing up. You see, Prabhupada didn't want that. Don't be misled by that, you know, because most astrologers or people who tell the future have no ability except to divert you from what's really valuable. And Prabhupada, you know, again, discussing on the point of astrology, that whatever your past, whatever your present, whatever your future, don't be concerned because you have the opportunity now to take advantage of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement. That's the only thing that you really need to be concerned with. If you're not taking that opportunity, but you're being misled by some other astrological, you know, information, then you're wasting your time, and that sort of astrology is nonsense if it's diverting you from that understanding. And generally, that's the case. You know, when I was in Perth in 1980, we were establishing the temple there, and yeah, it was a very, very difficult day. It was like three or four devotees, half a dozen devotees in the temple. We had to work very, very hard. You know, I was a brahmachari. Very, very difficult. And the temple president there was known in ISKCON as, you know, Mr. Nasty. You know, even the gurus, even the sannyasis called him that. There's one guru, one guru said to him personally, you know, that if nectar jumped up and splashed you in the face, you tasted it bitter. He said, you know, that was his nature. So it was very, very difficult times, you know. He would, go out of his way to deprive devotees of anything that was even the slightest bit of nectar. So, you know, we'd have a very simple breakfast. And you weren't, you know, like you'd have khichdi and you'd have muffins, but you weren't allowed to have, you know, anything else, and you couldn't have butter on your muffin, you know, like that. But he would sit there and eat butter. So he would sit there, he'd have so much butter, and he'd be eating, and we'd be looking, oh, if I could get a piece of that butter like that. You know, you're a brahmachari, you know, you go to work all day, you're sitting there eating in front of you, and you're thinking, just one piece of butter, you know. Anyway, I used to actually make my own secret batch of simply wonderful. I used to make a batch of simply wonderfuls and have a stash. But anyway, I went to someone who was like a palmist, and you know, I was having a lot of, you know, stress. The devotees, in fact, because, you know, plus my own mind, and, you know, and, it's just, and I just wanted out of interest because I was like into that before as a devotee. And I asked this lady, you know, she was very good. She was spot on. She said, you know, you have a scar on your knee because you've just had some operation. I said yes. She told me the, you know, first, the sound of my partner's name. And she told me a whole lot of other things, just, you know, spot on. And, you know, but then, you know, she said she didn't know I was a devotee. When I first rang her, she didn't know. But she could see, even over the phone, although I didn't say, she understood that I was in some society and I was having trouble. And she told me that over the phone. When I went to see her, she said, you know, I told her I was in this Krishna consciousness, she said, you should leave. You should leave Krishna consciousness because, you know, that will cause you a lot of trouble. How right she was. No. But you know, despite that, you know, there's no question of leaving Krishna consciousness. But, you know, my point is that they may have an understanding, you know, of, but they can't, they don't have a devotional perspective. A devotee actually embraces, you know, if they go through some great trouble for Krishna's benefit and Krishna is pleased, and those troubles become their greatest nectar. You know. But, you know, so that is the problem. For instance, one time when Prabhupada was leaving this planet, you know, an astrologer, Prabhupada allowed the devotees to bring astrologers, you know, and one astrologer said, you know, you should chant this mantra, you should get 10 brahmanas to chant this mantra to Lord Shiva, you know, to save Prabhupada from, you know, his illness. For 21 days. They should chant this mantra to Lord Shiva for 21 days. And Prabhupada said, but, you know, we only have one mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Okay. So, you know, if Prabhupada said there, in that case, this is, and then what happens is that Hari Suri asks Prabhupada, says, are these astrological charts very much applicable for devotees? Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no. Don't waste money for this astrology. So Tamal Krishna suggested they have, you know, kirtan. So Prabhupada says, this is the real business. These astrologers are karmis. We have nothing to do with karmis. The Prabhupada is simply not saying there we have nothing to do with astrology. He's saying we have nothing to do with karmis. It is a total misuse of astrology. A total misunderstanding. They have no access into the life of a devotee. But, another time, the Prabhupada said, you know, in a letter to a devotee, he said, regarding astrology, you should not listen to any of these so-called astrologers. Strictly avoid, don't even see them. Make one turn your head. He said, astrology is meant for the materialist, but a spiritualist does not care for the future. So, you know, that point. Everything is dependent upon Krishna. Where is the necessity of astrology? The devotee's principle is, let there anything happen as Krishna desires and let me remain sincere devotee, that's all. Pure devotee is never interested in astrology. So these are, very strong statements. Srila Prabhupada is making these statements, so therefore. But it's in the context, and actually if you go through most of the all of the contexts in which Srila Prabhupada very strongly denounces astrology and devotees using astrology, it's in the context that they're not following these principles, that by their dabbling in astrology, they're not depending on Krishna. By dabbling in astrology, they're not taking advantage of Lord Chaitanya's movement. That's the real thing that they need to know. What else? Astrology can't save you at the time of death. Or, devotees, Srila Prabhupada said that, if you clap your hands before the deities, all the lines on your palms change. So don't think you're chanting Hare Krishna don't think that, you know, it's not changing your destiny. You know, Srila Prabhupada didn't want people, you know, taking interest in astrology if it overrided these things, if their interest meant that your interest in astrology is taking you to a point where you're not being dependent on Krishna, where you're not taking seriously the potency of the holy name. You're not taking seriously the potency of Lord Chaitanya's movement. You know, therefore, don't take it. Avoid this, you know, don't have anything to do with that. Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada has just said here, so that is the context in which he's making these strong statements. So therefore, you know, we may ask the question, can a pure devotee be an astrologer? In the previous verse, Srila Prabhupada, in the previous verse, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned that amongst the Karmakanda experts, the Jataka expert Vipras were good astrologers. So we're talking, you know, amongst the Karmakanda. So there are Jataka experts who were good astrologers who could tell the future by astrological calculations. He's saying such expert Jataka Vipras were present during the birth of Maharaj Parikit. Prabhupada says there is a need of such Vipras in social structure. So, and further up, Prabhupada says the Vipras, he says, you know, there is a difference between Vipras and Brahmanas. Vipras are those who are expert in Karmakanda or fruit of activities. So generally they take to the astrological branch. Whereas the Brahmanas are expert in spiritual knowledge. And of course above them is the Vaishnavas who have, you know, scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Here, you could actually take it that anyone who is practicing astrology is immediately classified as a Karmi. You could draw that from that. So that means that anyone who is practicing astrology, even within devotional service, is not practicing devotional service. That their astrological activities within the realm, not within the realm of devotional service, but within the realm of Karmakanda. You can actually draw that from that purport. So is that correct? Who would say that is correct? So let's look at Shastra. So if we have a look, you know, can one be a pure devotee of the Lord and be an astrologer, and can one actually serve the Lord in pure devotional service and attain prema bhakti by serving the Lord through astrology and go back to Godhead? So let's have a Chaitanya Charitamrita, verse 108, you know, in that area. This is a very nice story. On another day, on another day, an astrologer came who was supposed to know everything, past, present, future. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received him with all honor and put this question before him. So Lord Chaitanya says to the astrologer, please tell me who I was in my previous birth. That's generally what you want. What are your astrological computations? So hearing these words of the Lord, the astrologer immediately began his calculations. So Through the calculation and meditation, the all-knowing astrologer saw the great effulgent body of the Lord, which is the resting place of all the unlimited Vaikuntha planets. So, because this, Prabhupada mentions here that, I'll read the next verse and I'll explain. Seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Supreme Brahman, the personality of Godhead, the astrologer was confused. I'll read up. Struck with wonder, the astrologer remained silent, unable to speak. But when the Lord again put the question before him, he replied as follows: "My dear sir, in your previous birth, you were the shelter of all creation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of all opulences. You are now the same Supreme Personality of Godhead that you were in your previous birth. Your identity is inconceivable, eternal happiness." When the astrologer was speaking so highly of him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped him and began to smile. "My dear sir," he said, "I think you do not know very clearly what I was, for I know in my previous birth I was a cowherd boy. In my last birth I was born in the family of cowherd men, and I gave protection to the calves and cows. Because of such pious activities, I have now become the son of a Brahmin." Now we'll get back to this. Just on a side note, it reminds me of, you know, that one time someone read, you know, someone asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, had he had some astrology done, you know, about his previous life, and Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, I was told by an astrologer that in my previous life I was a physician and I was completely sinless." So, now, Prabhupada was saying that, he said no more. On another occasion, he was sitting with Harisori Prabhu, and just out of the blue, he volunteered there was no question on the subject. He said, "You know, in my previous life, I was a physician, and I was sinless, but I did commit one sin. I killed a snake to extract the poison for some, you know, medical thing." So, Prabhupada, just giving a little bit more information. We shouldn't, that calculation by that astrologer is not completely irrelevant. At the same time, we should understand that if Srila Prabhupada can remember a previous time where, as a devotee, he was acting in the capacity of a physician, we'd have to imagine he's someone like Murari Gupta or, you know, some great, you know, associate of the Lord, not some ordinary, you know, person. But, you know, Prabhupada didn't disregard that. Here Lord Chaitanya is saying also, playing it down, as Prabhupada played down his previous birth, that he was a physician, like that. So we can understand that perhaps, in Prabhupada's, if he's accepting that fact, that, there may be some pastime with the Lord, like that. But Prabhupada was remembering a particular incident. He said, "Yes, I was a physician, but I did commit one sin." And he told an exact story. "I killed a snake to extract poison." Yeah, it's a very detailed, it's a detail of something you're remembering. We don't take it, if that was one of his previous, pastimes, we have to understand that, a great physician like Murari Gupta, who cures their material and their spiritual, diseases, as they're preaching Krishna consciousness, not just some ordinary pious person. But here, Lord Chaitanya is also saying, I was a pious person, because of some piety, looking after the cows and what have you. I've taken birth, in that context. You're mistaken. You're thinking I'm that. So, The astrologer said, what I saw in meditation was full of opulence, and therefore I was confused. It appears, now this Prabhupada's purport, it appears that the astrologer not only was a knower of the past, present, future, through astrological calculation, but was also a great meditator as well. Therefore, he was a great devotee, and could see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the same personality as Krishna. So here, Prabhupada is saying that a devotee can be a brahmana and a vipra. A vipra is not necessarily a qualified brahmana who knows the spiritual science or a Vaishnava. But a brahmana is automatically both. If a Vaishnava, if you say that, such and such a devotee is a Jataka Vipra, that it is not wrong to say that. If you say that such and such a devotee is not a Vaishnava, they're a Jataka Vipra, that's wrong. That is offensive. That's a different thing. Here, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada is saying that a great devotee can actually also be a Jataka Vipra. If you say that, such and such a devotee is such a nice brahmana, that's not an offence. But if you say that such and such a devotee is just a brahmana, not a devotee, because, they're doing brahminical stuff, In fact, Srila Prabhupada was actually accused of that very thing. There are sahajas that they accused Prabhupada of being a priest. They said, he's just a priest. He's opening temples and, teaching them to worship the deities and that. So they actually, he's just a priest. So therefore they considered that they were Vaishnavas. The Prabhupada was a brahmana, but not a Vaishnava. That isn't a defence. So if you call a Vaishnava a brahmana and a vipra, and a Vaishnava, there's no offence. But if you call a Vaishnava just a vipra, you've offended that person. So here, Prabhupada, goes on, and he explains that, I am certain that your form and the form I saw in my meditation are one and the same. If I see any difference, this is an act of your illusory energy. So Prabhupada says in the purport, it appears that the astrologer was already an advanced devotee. And when he came into the presence of the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became perfectly self-realized and could see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are one and the same person. So then what happens? The all-knowing astrologer concluded, whatever you may be or whoever you may be, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. By his causeless mercy, the Lord then gave him love of God, thus rewarding him for his service. So here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, accepted service from this devotee. What was that service? Astrological service. And what did he give him? He gave him pure love of God. So here, according to our shastras, one can actually serve the Lord in any capacity. But the general consensus is Prabhupada did not want people practicing anything in an independent way. So the problem is that generally when people think of astrology and ISKCON, because of some of the, lack of academic moral integrity, in their understanding of the Shastras, they consider that if a person practices astrology, that means they not depending upon the Supreme Lord. That's the general consensus. Therefore, how can they ever become a pure devotee or servant of the Lord? So then we have to look at that. What does it mean to depend upon the Lord? So for instance, if someone has some medical problem, Now, if we're completely dependent upon the Lord, what we should do is just say, well, Krishna will protect me. And someone will say, no, you know, you're bleeding from the ear, you know, and the eyes. You should probably see a doctor. I only depend on Krishna. You know, there's a joke that my father told me. I think I've mentioned this joke, that one time there was a great flood, and everyone was drowning, and this one person was clinging to a tree and praying to God, you know, I only depend upon your mercy, please protect me. So what happens is, you know, this person came rowing past in the boat. Jump in, I'll save you. No, I only depend upon my Lord. Okay, you die, you drown. You pray, dear Lord, you know, you say, I always have faith in you. So what happens? A helicopter comes past. Quick, grab a hold of the, climb up the rope ladder. No, I only depend upon the Supreme Lord. Helicopter takes off. So then, of course, the man drowns. Fortunately, he goes to heaven. But when he gets to heaven, he goes up to God. He says, you know, I had complete faith in you. I had, you know, I depended only on you, and I thought you were going to save me. He said, well, that's funny, because I sent a boat and a helicopter. So, sometimes when Srila Prabhupada was walking, you know, in the different parts, in the different country, he would ask directions. Prabhupada was completely dependent on Krishna, but if he was walking in the, he would rely on being guided by the devotees. Which way? He would ask them, you hear the morning walk, which way should we go? Because he didn't want to go up the two hilly places, which sometimes some foolish devotees took him, or through the mud, which sometimes some devotees took him. He was hoping, you know, and asking, you guide, which is, and not too long, like this. So he would ask. Now, if Prabhupada asks directions, does that mean he is not depending on God and he just get him on Krishna? Yeah. If someone has some mechanical problem with their car, that's okay. You know, I'm driving, one of the wheels seems to be going like this, and the steering wheel, I'm moving it, and it seems to be going that way when I'm turning it this way. I'll depend on Krishna. I only depend on Krishna. You know, that they will actually go to a mechanic who's a karmi, and they will get some advice. Does that mean that they are not dependent upon Krishna? Why don't they just come before the deities, pray to Krishna, having trouble with the carburetor, can you give me some divine intelligence how I can, you know, fix that myself? I'll save you some money. Health, you know, financial. You know, people who are accountants and business people, they will take financial advice from the non-devotees. But if a devotee is practicing a Vedic science, they will not take that advice, because that means that that person and themselves are no longer depending on Krishna. So, you know, there's something... there's something inconsistent there, you know, like that. So, you know, the point here of this, you know, class is that there should be academic moral integrity. You know, when you know, many of the devotees in here, you know, in this room, you know, may have, you know, home programs where they're preaching regularly to, you know, devotees, new devotees, and they're guiding them, and they're setting up, you know, literally their attitude to Krishna consciousness and to devotional service and to devotees and to Prabhupada, their attitude to Prabhupada, their attitude to Krishna. They're establishing a particular mood in their heart, and it's actually a very great responsibility that any devotee who has, you know, whether they're teaching the children, you know, from 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, or a teenager, whether they're teaching brand new people, one may think, oh, they're brand new, you know, it doesn't matter what I say, you know, they don't know. You know, or whether they're teaching, you know, anything Krishna consciousness, or, you know, whether they're setting, you know, for instance, one of the things I've always had difficulty with is that when we organise the Sunday feast, we get people from the very beginning to sit with their back towards the deities. You know, I always have an issue with that. But to me, you know, it's not a good example. But, you know, I've mentioned it many times, but, you know, the devotees seem to be quite happy to do that. But, you know, to me, I feel that we should actually teach devotees from the very beginning that certain things are done and certain things are not done. You know, there's a big responsibility for us to do that. But it is extremely easy to draw something from Prabhupada's own statements, from Prabhupada's own books, and literally create a philosophy which has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, nothing to do with Prabhupada's instructions, nothing to do with Prabhupada's mood. And in fact, you know, some of those things can be very detrimental to one's own spiritual life in the way of becoming offensive, and can be very detrimental to other people's spiritual lives. So therefore, you know, as preachers within the Krishna consciousness movement, we should try to very carefully understand the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, it's not possible for a devotee to just know all the Prabhupada's, you know, books. If someone comes along to Krishna consciousness and they've been around for a couple of years, there's no way that they've read all the Prabhupada's books and fully assimilated them and all the Prabhupada's, you know. So what is it, what do they need to do? They need to be guided. You know, every devotee who is actually preaching Krishna consciousness in some capacity needs to have a mentor. If a devotee sets himself up as a preacher and there is no guidance, that is not condoned, you know. It happens, but it shouldn't happen. Every devotee who's actually preaching Krishna consciousness, if they're giving classes, then someone should, you know, the new devotees giving classes, someone should monitor what they're saying and, you know, help them, because, you know, the devotees who may be, you know, more read, more mature, you know, should actually help them. If devotees are organising preaching programs, Sunday feast programs or anything like that, they actually should have someone who is, you know, monitoring and helping them. If a devotee feels that they are doing, you know, these services without any guidance, you know, you can guarantee that they will make some, you know, serious misjudgments in, you know, what they're presenting to people. So I'm going to leave it there and ask if there's any questions or comments on, preaching in Islam and academic and moral integrity. Yes.
So, is he called Sudama, who is a friend of Lord Krishna, as Sudama Vipra?
Yes, that's a good point.
So, he is a friend of Lord.
Yes.
Why did he call him?
Because that was his, situation in life. You know, that you know, generally, as Prabhupada is mentioning, if you call someone a vipra, it means that that is how they're situated, assisting people in, for instance, the vipras generally, they help people with pathology, medical treatment, and astrology. These are the two main branches that the vipras, the Brahmana vipras, would help people with. They would go door to door, and generally they would tell people, here is such and such a tithi. Today is the appearance day of Lord Krishna, and so within that village they all knew. Otherwise, they wouldn't look it up on the internet. The Brahmana would actually have to go around and tell everyone door to door. So in your village you should have Jamasti because this is the tithi. And while they were there, if people had some problems with their health or in other areas of life, as an astrologer, as a Ayurvedic practitioner, they would help them. They would do this because it saved people time and money. So the although Sudama, the Brahmin, he was selling some cups. Is that him? Is that the same one? This is Krishna's friend, right? Was he the one that was selling? No, that was another one. But yeah, so he was a Brahmana though. So if it was as a vipra, then generally that means that's their occupation. So that's a good example, actually, where someone who's actually an associate of the Lord can be called a vipra. But in calling them a vipra, we're not saying that that means they're not a devotee. So you can say to a devotee, you're a vipra. They can be a vipra and a devotee. But if you say that, oh, Sudama is a vipra, therefore we can't count him as one of Krishna's devotees, that's where we create a huge offence to Sudama. By just classifying him as like that. The Brahmanas, what they would do is that in Vedic culture, people had so much time for their devotional life, their spiritual practices, and cultivation of they performed so many different religious ceremonies. And these days we think, how did they get the time to do that? If you see a wedding and you see the women, they've got their hands all decorated with the the henna. And you think, what a beautiful culture that, these women have so much time. That you look at it and you think, they've spent hours, have a bit of a chat and drawing like that. What a wonderful culture that they had that time. How did, in this day and age, we don't have time. No one has time. Everyone is, Actually, we should try to... Prabhupada, one of the things that he was against astrology is that you're wasting time and money. That's what he said. But actually, you can use astrology. The proper use of astrology, as Prabhupada says in his books, is to save time and money. If you save time and money, it means you have extra time and facility to serve the Lord and perform all the different, religious and devotional activities. So I'll give you an example. When I was on the farm, as a manager of the farm, in those days, I never received any money from ISKCON, from Melbourne. I paid all the bills for the farm myself. It's very unique in Australia, that you actually have a farm where they're not just going to the local temple and say, yeah, we need this. I paid all the bills. It cost me tens of thousands every year. I earned that money myself while looking after my daughters as a sole parent, and without any other devotees, And the help I used to get mostly was from people who were not devotees at all. I used to do university programs, and I'd say, I'm doing a concert next week, and they'd say, oh, I want to go to that concert. And I'd say, well, you can come with me and help. And, you know, you don't, because, you know, they're about 50, 80 bucks a ticket. So these people just wanted to go to the concert, although, you know, some devotees used to come help, but generally, for a lot of them. So most of the persons I had were quite untrained in anything. Now, I had to turn a dozen people who I practically never met. Some of my children, who were like about 12, 13 years old, into a well-trained, coordinated team who was going to cook for 15,000 people. And what they wanted to do was watch their favourite bands. So I used astrology to manage that. So what I used to do was, I used to calculate before I went to the festivals, when will the money be made? So, you know, I would look at, I'd have in my diary that between 2:15 and 4:32 and 30 seconds would make a lot of money. So I would tell my staff, you go out, you know, you want, go and watch your bands like this. You'll be back here at such and such a time. And we're going to cook up. And so they would go and watch the band, because that's what they wanted to do. If I made them stay there, oh, stay, we might get customers. So they would come back at exactly the same time, because they'd spend hours, you know, like that. And, of course, you know, I made sure that there was no, you know, intoxication. That, you know, they were clean and they were, you know, well cut sort of people. They were nice, nice and cut. We would start cooking massive, massive amounts. And they're looking out and say, well, there's no one there. And all the other stalls, you know, no one's coming for food. And they're just spacing out. And when it come the time, the exact, you know, 3:15, thousands of people just start coming, and I used to watch the other storeholders, and they're like, running, get the staff, you know, get back here, people are coming quickly, you know, propped up the heaters and things like that. We're all cooked and ready. Yeah. And you know, the people, they used to love it. They, you know, we cooked up, they chopped up, they cleaned up. All of a sudden, Krishna sends thousands of people like that. We made big profit. One night, I worked out that at a certain stage, something very bad was going to happen. And I got up in the morning and I thought, I've got to find what bad has happened, because, you know, I know it's happened, but I don't know what it is. And I was checking everything. I was checking the, you know, the gas leaks and, you know, making sure, you know, and then, you know, looking, there was nothing sharp on the ground, you know, or no health restrictions. We had plenty of boga, everything was, you know, and at the last, you know, the last thing I found was one of the other storeholders had actually turned on all their gas, so we had no gas. You know, sometimes they'd actually sabotage because we were doing so well. Everyone was coming to the Hare Krishna tent, and you see them, they're looking over those rotten Hare Krishnas, you know. They'd emptied out all their gas. But I found it. I knew there was something wrong. And I sent the devotees back to the farm. This is from Meredith. They had to drive all the way back to the farm, where I had extra gas just in case we run out. And they brought it back, and we got it back just in time to cook up. And we cooked up, and we still made a packet. So, you know, it was, there's an instance where you're not using astrology to waste time and money, but literally to make bundles of money for Krishna and you know, not waste time. You know, similarly, recently I just bought a car. Usually, most people who are going to buy a car, what they do is, you know, they'll spend about so many hours on the internet. You check out all the cars and the prices and, you know, where to go. And then you might go out and look at so many things and like that. What I did was, I did an astrological calculation. I worked out that, you know, on such and such a day, I was going to go to Footscray at a particular time, and I was going to buy the car that was there, whatever it was, because that was a good car to have. So, on that day, I went there, at the exact time, drove to, realised, well, the time is here, I'm at this car, this place, this must be where it is. I walked in, asked him, I said, I want, such and such a particular car, something that's, dual fuel and, automatic and this and that. He said, I've got this car for you. He showed me one car, I said, I'll take it. He said, it's a good car. And, anyway, my point is that, you're asking. Vipras did that. They help people to save time and money so that they've got so much time for Krishna. That's the very purpose. So, that's the original purpose of these things. And, if someone utilizes it in that proper way, it's not a misuse, so that there's so much time for Krishna, that's not a bad thing.
I was exploring astrology a bit,
and
it wasn't the time. I was looking at Jupiter and Rahu combination. Mm-hmm. There's a special combination, and but if it occurs in the ninth house of the person, it's the worst combination, and if the person with this combination, he will be averse to all religious principles. And the thought of scripture or religious principles will turn him away, and he will want to break all the norms and regulations of society, and he will spread false interpretations of the scripture and the society as well. So,
I'll give you Prabhupada's answers to that. That one devotee came to Prabhupada, concerned about Dharu and what have you. So Prabhupada said, with a slight kick, Krishna can kick away 100,000 dhadus.
Yeah, but how would he even take
to
Krishna consciousness?
No. That's the message in this purport, that despite everything, if you get proper training, if we don't get it as a child, at least get it now. If you get proper training, you'll become a pure devotee and go back to God. That's Prabhupada's message. That's what he's saying in this purport. Despite it, all astrological influences, if you get proper guidance, the difficulty is that some people who come to Krishna consciousness, you can see in their chart that they're perhaps the sort of people who don't take proper guidance. And some people, when they come to Krishna consciousness, they're just naturally a little bit humble and quite prepared to take guidance. So that may cause some problems that you can anticipate. But if a person gradually, associates and they will get faith in the devotees, and then they do take proper guidance and get over their conditioning, then there's no problem. Any other questions?
Thank you so much for the enlightening class. So, as devotees, how do we balance astrology in our life? Should we refer to astrology when there are some major decisions we have to take in our life, or should it be like a regular thing so that as you were mentioning, you can save time and money? But not everybody knows, and not everybody has access to such facilities. So, how do we balance during major things, or in what circumstances?
So, for instance, we do according to the principles of the Bhagavad Gita and according to Prabhupada's mood and instructions. In this very chapter, Srila Prabhupada was prescribing that you can use the astrological techniques to choose a particular time to conceive a child to make, to guarantee that the proper arrangements are going to be made for that devotee, you know, who is coming. So there, Srila Prabhupada is explaining, you know, the transcendental use of astrology even within ISKCON. You know, that, for instance, if we were to invite, say, the spiritual master who comes to Melbourne, we say, yes, I want you to come to my home, on Friday evening, and we will, you know, look after you. Now, if the guru comes, and when he gets there, he finds that, there's 16 workmen who have taken the side of the house off because you're doing renovations, therefore the kitchen's not functioning, and, they've turned the water off, and there's nobody to wash his hands, and, you know, so you've served him up some food, which is, cold salad because you couldn't cook anything. Then the problem is you've invited a devotee in circumstances which are, not suitable. If we invite a devotee, we want the best circumstances. And when we perform the Gardadana Samskara and try to, astrologically calculate the best moment, we're doing that. We're making the best arrangement for the reception of a devotee who will come into this world. It's nothing to do with karma or what have you like that. So, devotees will consult, the Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada has some information and there's some more specific information that some of the, chanakas, can give, what have you. So that's an example. Generally, a devotee, for most things they follow the guidance of senior Vaishnavas, they follow the guru, they follow the Srila Prabhupada's books. That's our main source. That's, always our main understanding of, what to do and what not to do, when to do it, and how to do it and what mood. Our first source is Prabhupada's books, Srila Prabhupada's other instructions, how they're coming through the guru, how they're coming through the senior Vaishnavas, that's our first source. Then sometimes, there may need to be an instruction, a little bit more expanded understanding maybe there, in which case one may go to an astrologer or a doctor or a mechanic or a finance manager, according to the specific thing that they need. The guru may say, you should start, you're in the ashram, but I think you should actually start a business, that'd be better for you, I don't think you're properly situated in the Brahmachari ashram. You should actually, be doing business and earning money for Krishna. So then the guru may give that instruction and start where you go, how do I run a business? Oh, for that, you see the proper people, You make sure you have proper financial advice and, advice from the real estate is, position and, you can get some astrological advice on, time. So like that, when there's some expanded information, to refine one's understanding of what they, then that can be there. But otherwise, if the devotee is, executing the orders of the spiritual master and following Shastra, there's no need, It's not that every day we need a mechanical report on their car. We don't need a health report every day. We don't need an astrological report every day. There are specific circumstances, when the car needs, something, you can't go to the guru and say, look, I'm sure it's a carburetor, because it's spluttering and such. What do you think, The guru's not going to do an analysis of your, the timing in your car. So, but the guru, will say, you're using this vehicle in Krishna consciousness, it should be properly maintained. If devotees are driving vehicles and they have themselves in the car and other devotees, they should make sure their car is safe, driven at a proper speed, they wear seat belts, and it is mechanically sound. And for that we go to the mechanic, on a regular basis. So, there are various needs, but it's not that it's a prime element that every devotee has to have some constant astrological update. There are sometimes there are emergency situations where they and they need to be sorted, and some astrological information can actually be helpful, so like that. It's not to be taken. What Prabhupada didn't want, which we should try to respect his, instructions, is that as much time as we can spend chanting and reading his books, we should do. If you don't need to look into astrology, if there's very little gain, and you could have spent that time chanting and reading, then you're wasting your time. That is what Prabhupada specifically didn't want. Better read the books and chant Hare Krishna. If there's some specific time, it's some, emergency, difficulty, yes. But if it's not needed, don't waste your time as a devotee.
I heard this is that in India people they ask the Pandit to check out the auspicious time.
Yes.
And then they have a very considerable surgery on that time. So is that good use of astrology?
I have issues with a lot of that, mostly astrology is misused these days, mostly. 99.99999%. Any other questions?
Would you still say a good custom to consult astrology when arranging a marriage between two people? With
yeah.
The view of Krishna
consciousness in mind? Yeah. Look, as the Krishna conscious aspect is the most important. If both partners are Krishna conscious, then pretty much, that marriage will be successful. Even if their natures are opposite, somewhat incompatible, if they become Krishna conscious, that marriage will have great benefit to them, the society, to everyone, if they're Krishna. That is the main principle. One of the difficulties, of course, is that when we assume people are Krishna conscious and they're not, then it's helpful that at least, the person that we're choosing is a nice person and you get along with them. the Krishna consciousness, is the most important. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, when he married couples, because at that time, there may not have been the facility each time there's a marriage, to consult. But generally, Srila Prabhupada would depend upon his disciples being Krishna conscious and following his instruction, and to make that marriage work, because Srila Prabhupada had, blessed it and ordained it and hoped that they would work together. He depended upon that. But that's the main thing. What we see is that, it's actually very rare that the disciples of Srila Prabhupada or other gurus actually just on the request of their guru just for that order alone, made their marriage worse. In Kali Yuga is extremely difficult period. You know, everything works against the marriage in Kali Yuga. Everything works to destroy it. And if we have some weakness in our character, the partner, you know, and if just on the faith, you know, of the guru's instructions, you know, then it, one may be in difficulty. So, you know, if there is a backup, you know, that's okay. Sometimes the Krishna consciousness may wane in either partner, but by and large, it's a good match, and with good people. Then even when the Krishna consciousness sometimes wanes, nothing particularly bad happens, and there's just a period of a lack of Krishna consciousness. But gradually, because they're steady, they'll just stay together, and gradually, with association, they'll come back to their Krishna consciousness. Okay. Mm-hmm. But if the only thing keeping them together is that order of the Guru, and at some stage they lose faith in that, in Krishna, with Krishna's order, and then, you know, they're very incompatible, and one of them may even have very bad qualities, you know, that sometimes service. For instance, Prabhupada said, like on that example, that you clap your hands before the deities, all the lines change. He also said this to a devotee, that the karma, the reactions, karmic reactions to our past activities, when we perform devotional service, Krishna takes all of that away. He said, but if you stop doing your devotional service, you get it all back again. It's a fact. So therefore, you know, if devotees, if their Krishna consciousness wanes significantly, and they might think, oh, you know, I've chanted Hare Krishna, you know, all my karma is gone. But Krishna gives it all back. It's not exactly karma, but Krishna said, well, you can't trick me. That devotee, even that fallen devotee, is still somewhat under Krishna's. So it's not quite karma that they're getting, but it's practically the same thing. Krishna's saying, you know, you would have suffered in this way. Okay, I took away that karma, but I'm still going to make you suffer. Because, you know, you can't, don't trick me, or, you know, and don't go away from the Krishna service. So, therefore, sometimes devotees, you know, they can, if their Krishna consciousness wanes, if there is a huge incompatibility in that relationship, and there's some bad character, that can surface in a big way again and be very destructive. So at least if the Krishna consciousness wanes, there's some compatibility, it might help get them through the tough times, and again they come back to Krishna consciousness. So it just makes things more steady. But if devotees just have, if they just maintain their faith in the instruction of the Guru, that's enough, despite anything. But that, you know, that's, doesn't always happen. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much. I appreciate it.